Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's Here and Now. The Indian government estimates that there are about 10,000 migrant workers from India working in Iraq. And some of those workers are in extremely dangerous areas as the Sunni insurgency takes over parts of the country. One example of that is that in the past few days, 40 Indian construction workers were kidnapped in Mosul. The government of India says it has information that they are safe and have not been harmed, but their exact whereabouts are unknown. NPR's Julie McCarthy is in New Delhi. And Julie, are there any updates on these kidnapped workers?
Well, there seems to be a lot of misunderstanding and I think a mystery about where they are and who actually has taken them. That's really never been absolutely substantiated. The thought is that it is the Sunni militants who are rolling their way through Iraq at the moment, but there's no ironclad confirmation of that. But I think what we are seeing, more and more Indians from different parts of Iraq, not just Mosul, are desperately trying to get out. They're surfacing in Najaf, in Basra, in Karbala, and they're saying, evacuate us. Now, that's in the south of the country. That's dominated by Shias. And the militants overrunning the government are Sunnis. And they began in the north of Iraq. They're moving south, meaning to say that even those Indians who are not directly in the line of fire are eager to leave, and many are trapped by employers or by their own circumstances. We just got off the phone with a carpenter's assistant in Karbala who says he and 450 other men, mostly Indians, are agitating to leave but are being told they cannot go. And according to the men, the company that contracted them is saying, you must work on the hospital you all are constructing. But the workers refuse, and they say, we're totally unprotected at that site if something were to happen. And so they're not working, they're not getting paid, and they are, in their words, being held against their will. And then you have the ongoing drama of nurses in Tikrit who are holed up in a hospital there in Saddam Hussein's hometown, which is now in the control of the ISIS militants, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. And they told us they are not working and that the Red Crescent is taking care of them.
And Julie, I imagine they're there because they can get steady work or lucrative work or maybe just work, period, in Iraq compared to what they can get in India.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, they're vulnerable at home because the domestic economy is faltering, and they're vulnerable overseas to these sometimes unscrupulous recruiters who extract money from them to get to Iraq, and they find themselves in a situation often of indentured servitude. But in terms of these Indian workers that I've spoken to, you know, basically they feel as if they have no economic choice here. Basically, they are sometimes and not infrequently the breadwinner of the family, and with no opportunities at home and having recruiters dangle dreams in front of them of riches and a better way of life, they take it, they grab it. And what they grab is a chance really to improve the lives of their families back home, which is what they're doing. The World Bank estimates that these migrant workers send 90% of their earnings back home.
Any sense of whether when they went to Iraq they realized how risky it may be, or is there simply no choice because of the financial situation they were in?
Well, I think that's a logical question to us. Why go to a place like Iraq when it's so dangerous? But I think for people who are uneducated, poorly informed, often indifferent to sectarian strife in other places, that question is less obvious. And as I said, you have recruiters dangling money and big promises. Their wages can be many times what they would be in India. The construction workers in Mosul, for example, would be earning 25,000 rupees a month. That's about $400. That's more than double. Oftentimes much more than double what they would be making at home. That's provided they had a job. One former diplomat told me they can be indifferent to the sectarian strife around them, which can inoculate them sometimes from trouble. The Indians have considered themselves not to be targets. They were not stalwarts in the coalition to oust Saddam Hussein. They're not seen by the combatants that way. They didn't have a dog in the fight. And so there is this feeling that they have a bit of inoculation, more than a bit of inoculation. And a few years ago, prior to this, Iraq, for many migrant workers, was considered relatively peaceful. The Indians we spoke to told us it was safe when the Americans were there. And they said, nor did the government, the Indian government, stop us. They didn't warn us not to go. But, of course, the situation has now deteriorated. So nothing is guaranteed. And increasingly, the migrant workers from India, Turkey, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Nepal, they all feel very insecure, and many would like to leave. Not all of them, however, but many.
Julie, in terms of the type of work they're doing, you mentioned construction, you referenced nursing or hospitals. It sounds like quite a wide variety of jobs.
Well, it is a wide variety of jobs. And interestingly, what you get is kind of a two-tiered Indian system. You get high-paid engineers, you get lawyers, you get IT specialists, you get doctors, all Indians who have gone to a place like Iraq. Now, these people who are educated have access to financial means to get out if they need to. They know how to make the government, or at least they know how to attempt to make the government sit up and notice them if they have a problem. That is not the case with the menial workers, really, and they make up 70% of those who are actually sitting in Iraq. They don't have that kind of outreach. They don't have a voice. And from what they're telling us, they're having a very difficult time getting Indian officials to listen to them in their pleas to get out or to get help. For the most part, they're being told if they can reach the embassy, stay where you are, stay put. In fact, one family member of one of the men who's captured in Mosul said to us when he called, the embassy official said to him, look, we're also helpless. We are also in trouble. So you get a sense of a chaotic situation, and these workers are caught in the middle.
In many ways, this is the first foreign policy test for India's new prime minister, Narendra Modi, and his nearly one-month-old government. Any sense of how India seems to think he's performing in this case?
Well, you know, there's the families are certainly extremely distressed. Talking with the Indians in Iraq, the nurses in Tikrit, the carpenters in Karbala, they all say they're pleading with Indian officials at the embassy in Baghdad to evacuate them, and if they get through to the embassy, they're told to stay put. And the family members of the missing men are saying, "Look, we're really in a bind because we can't. We're trying to press the government here in Delhi, and people are they're trying to put a good face on it, Sasha. But the people on the ground in Iraq are telling a very different story."
That's NPR's Julie McCarthy in New Delhi. Julie, thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Here and Now.